Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And sure, I'm all those things. Why not? And I'm joined now by Tommy Beer, NBA analyst for NBC, Roto World, and Forbes. Tommy, first, before we get into the substance of the season, bummer about Zion, right? we can all say that.
Absolutely. I was at the Garden last night, and it didn't quite have the same vibe, the same expectations if the presumptive Rookie of the Year was there. I guess let's just hope that it's not serious, but I think we can all agree he can probably shed a few pounds to keep him healthy. But yeah, he has a chance to be a generational type talent. Let's hope he can stay on the floor.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about what his ability and performance will be. Like, I mean, he'll have to refine his game and all that, you know, like, but Giannis is dealing with that, right? And he was the MVP. I don't think there's any question he's going to produce. I think the biggest question is, you know, is his greatest strength working against him? He's so explosive, but then that explosion is coming down with that huge, massive frame. So I think you're right. I think for his own good, it's not like you're saying he's fat. It's just that, to reduce the stress on his joints, I think he could probably lose like 20, 30 pounds even.
Yeah, I mean, you see it in the NFL. You know, sometimes a guy's at the end and he's not quite as explosive as he could be, whereas if you shift him to linebacker and can kind of, you know, cover some tight ends, et cetera, and also rush the passer, they have him lose a little muscle. So it's just basically modifying what can really accentuate his strengths, and I think they'll figure that out with Zion, hopefully.
Now, you said you were at the Garden. I know you're a Knicks fan, but you're a rational Knicks fan. This is a tough thing for me because I spent so much time in New York sports radio, and I rooted for the Knicks to be good during that time, but I had to tell the truth about it as well, and I see some of the fan base. I think because of the signings with Brooklyn, they've gotten very adversarial about that, and then like almost talking themselves into something that is not realistic for the team that's currently on the court. And I think if you're a Knicks fan, what you want to be looking for is growth from RJ Barrett, right? And the chance for him to become a star. And Mitchell Robinson to take a next step in his game, but would you agree that it's not a wise endeavor to expect this team to be anything but bad when it comes to results?
Yeah, I think we can definitely agree on that. I think Vegas has the over under 27.5. I think they actually have a chance to be around that or beat that just by sheer fact that they're going to be scratching and clawing for every victory at the end of the season. But yeah, you're right. At the end of the day, ideally what you want to see from a Knicks perspective is RJ Barrett. And his preseason was definitely very encouraging in that respect, develop into a player that can be, maybe a second, best player on a really good team, something along those lines. And I think he's shown that. And then Mitchell Robinson. And then on the, then there's the other kind of pieces where you really hope to see growth is in the Kevin Knoxes and the Frank Ntilikinas. Can they survive and kind of resuscitate his career? Those are the kind of things moving forward. If you can build those foundational pieces that can show you that they can be, that a free agent sees them as valuable building blocks, that's kind of what they're going to need. That's what I think the 2019-20 season will be about for them.
What about Brooklyn? Because there's the whole cool and all that stuff, whatever. You're going into the season, and the Nets obviously aren't going to have Kevin Durant, at least for the beginning of the season, perhaps for the entire season. But what do you think of their roster and their prospects as is? Because, I think with Durant, they could be in the championship conversation. Without him, I still think they're a very deep team. They got like three guys who can create off the dribble with Kyrie and Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert. And then I don't think they're putting anybody who's bad in their rotation. Where do you think they wind up with Kyrie as the leader?
I think it's
that's the key thing, Kyrie as the leader. How does that go? We saw it didn't really live up to expectations in Boston. If they get off to a slow start, there's going to be conversations and pressure. They traded away D'Angelo Russell. They had a good thing. They were moving in the right direction, and now, you know, can Kyrie kind of take them to that next step? Granted, they do have KD waiting in the wings, so that's really going to make everyone feel better about the whole situation, even if they struggle this season or don't quite live up to expectations. They got rid of Ed Davis. They got rid of Jared Dudley. They got rid of some guys that you don't think of as quality contributing players, but they fit well with the pieces and the system and the Sean Marks, Kenny Atkinson kind of culture there. I do think having a healthy LeVert is obviously key. He's a star in the making. So hopefully he'll take a big step forward this season. I'm not overly optimistic. I think they probably outperformed a little bit last year, and that got him KD and Kyrie, you know, or at least played a part in it. But I think it's, you know, that there's going to be a lot of competition in that middle of that East. So I can see him being like a 4 or 5 seed, around the 42, 44 win mark, so somewhere in that ballpark.
Robin Lindbergh talking to Tommy Beer, NBA analyst for NBC, Roto-World, and Forbes. Now, you talked about D'Angelo Russell. Let's talk about his new team for a second. I think one of the preseason sort of takes is that the Warriors won't make the playoffs, which sounds crazy when you first hear it. But then when you do think about it, you go, oh, yeah, they've been to 5 straight finals. We know what that grind can do. Oh, yeah, Klay Thompson is out, who is their best perimeter defender, and took the attention away from Steph Curry. And then, oh yeah, when you get beyond Steph, Draymond, and Russell, who else is good on the team? I think they have legit concerns that defenses will be able to key in solely on Curry. And then on the other end, Draymond's really the only guy who's a big plus on the defensive side with no real size. I mean, do you think they are in danger of missing the playoffs?
I think they are, actually. You got the crowded West. I guess it depends on what kind of win mark. I think they will definitely be in contention for the 7-8 season, the 7-8 seed all year. I think Steph Curry will be in the MVP conversation the entire season. People forget the last time he didn't play without Durant, he averaged 36-5 and shot 50% from the floor, 45% from three, 90% from the line. I mean, the guy's a monster. I think he's has a chip on his shoulder, and he's happy. A piece of him is happy to have this opportunity to prove to folks just how great, all-time great, a player he can be. That being said, they replaced in their starting lineup, this is now Glenn Robinson's going to start, so the downgrade from KD to Glenn Robinson is quite significant. But the other piece that a lot of people haven't been talking about is losing Andre Iguodala. They lost Sean Livingston. I think defensively is where they're really going to struggle. You replace Klay Thompson. D'Angelo Russell is going to be able to score. But as you mentioned, Klay Thompson is one of the better perimeter premier defenders in the NBA. So I just don't know how they're going to stop people on a daily basis. And yes, with the offensive exploits of the Splash Brothers and KD got all the, you know, got most of a lot of people talked about, and we saw a lot of highlights. But defensively, they were a very good team, and that really was a crucial component to their incredible five-year run into the finals. And I think they're going to take a major step back defensively this season. I think that's where it's really going to catch up to them, especially playing in that stacked Western Conference. So I think it's going to be I think they'll have a shot at clinching players, but I definitely wouldn't. I think they're going to lose. You know, I think they're probably going to win in 45 to 48, win total. We'll see if they can speak to the playoffs with that amount.
You mentioned the MVP, and, you know, my opinion of LeBron is well known. I didn't go into this season thinking, you know, I used to, my stock opinion was like he's the MVP every year. Really, last year was the first year where I didn't think that. Obviously, he missed too many games to be in that conversation. But when I see he's at like 9-1 for the MVP, and I think there's a real chance that he does something we kind of haven't seen before from a player in year 17. What kind of season are you expecting from LeBron?
Robin, you and I are on the same page when it comes to King James. I think he's the greatest player of all time, and I think people forgot that just how good he is because he only played in 55 games last year. But even in a down year, he averaged 27-8-8. Remember, the season before he played all 82 minutes, led the league in minutes played, 29-9-8. I mean, just the guy's a incredible talent. I think he's had 6 months to recharge his batteries, probably the longest he's not played a competitive basketball game, since he's 18 years old. I think he's going to come in refreshed. Lakers have a good team. Obviously, Anthony Davis, we'll see how the other components can kind of fill in. Can Danny Green knock down shots? Can JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, protect the paint enough? to give them some competitive defensive balance on a night in, night out basis. But I think the Lakers are going to be in the race for the top seed out west. So when you factor that in, the fact that the team's going to win 55-plus games, and LeBron James is the best player on the best team. And I think that is just, you know, kind of I don't want to say a career achievement award, but I think, you know, voters, they will be a kind of sense that, you know, this may be our last time to give LeBron one more MVP. I think that'll play into the conversation as well. So, yeah, you talk about 9-1 odds. I like that a lot.
Yeah, we're in lockstep there. Well, one more question for you, just because I thought of it now, and it's like the culmination of the whole offseason. But generally, going into the last several seasons, I wouldn't really ask people who they thought was going to win the NBA championship, right? Even it turned out to be the Raptors last year. We all know how that went down. Who do you think is going to win the championship?
Good question. which is good. That is a good question. You know, I think you can make a case for 6 or 7 teams. I don't think we've been able to say that for a really long time. I'll give you a hot take. I'll go the Sixers and the Nuggets meet in the finals, and the Sixers beating the Nuggets.
That's an interesting one. Here's my only issue with it, and I don't think it's like bad or anything. And maybe this is a function of where the league is now, where this won't be as much of a problem. But with Philadelphia, who is their guy I trust when it's money time? Because that was Jimmy Butler last year. And with Denver, you know, as good as Jokic is he the kind of player that could be the best player on a championship team? I think those are open questions, but maybe the structure of the league has changed those sort of expectations a little bit.
Yeah, I think I was really impressed by Jokic, you know, averaging nearly a triple-double in the postseason last year. So I think he proved, you know, a lot to me in that respect. But, yeah, the Philly question's fascinating. Obviously, it depends on Embiid's health. And I think if Embiid is healthy, you know, he can really throw together a 6-week, 2-month stretch in the postseason where he averages, you know, 30 and 13, something crazy like that. Because he has that type of talent. Let's hope he gets in shape and stays healthy. And I think Philly will be a force to be reckoned. I think that Al Horford pickup was really under the radar. He's an underrated player. I think that's a big pickup for them.
Tommy, appreciate the time this morning, man. Thank you.
Be good, Robin.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.